I'd like this morning to turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Read the entire psalm. There's 17 verses. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy, unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me, and comforted me. This is a psalm of David. We know neither the time nor the circumstances of its writing. The inscription says it is a prayer of David. And I believe this is one of those psalms that David spoke quite regularly through the course of his life. We know that David fought many battles, faced numerous enemies and difficulties, went through many a crisis, and I believe that he often spoke the words of this psalm. In this psalm, that we want to particularly notice two statements of fact. One concerning David, and one concerning God. And I believe these two statements are the nucleus of the psalm. In other words, they're the reason for what is said in the psalm, and everything that is said in the psalm comes back to these two facts. Everything centers upon these two facts. The first one is in verse 1. David says concerning himself, I am poor and needy. The second one is in verse 10. Thou art God alone. I am poor and needy. Thou art God alone. And notice that both of these statements are in the present tense. That is, it's always so. I am poor and needy. And it is always so. Thou art God alone. These are two statements, two facts that we must always be aware of, that we must grasp, that we must believe. They need to be a reality in our lives. They need to be relevant to our lives, because these two things, I am poor and needy, thou art God alone, are foundational to Christian living. So we want to speak this morning on living in the reality of who we are and who God is. First of all, I hope that each one of us that are saved, well, even those who aren't saved, can identify with these two truths. I am poor and needy. Thou art God alone. First of all, we need to live in the reality of who we are. David says again concerning himself, I am poor and needy. He makes that statement in Psalm 40, verse 17. Makes it again in Psalm 70, verse 5. Makes it again in Psalm 109, verse 22. The word needy means, of course, to be in need. Means to be needful. Means to be lacking. The word poor means that we are unable, that we are deficient in and of ourselves to meet that need. Means that we are limited and restricted to meet that need. So what we have here in verse 1 is a needy individual without the means to meet their need. And that's true of us in many aspects. So we need to hear David say, I am poor and needy. And we must say with David, me too. Me too. Read through the Psalms and listen to the pleas and the cries of David, and you can often say, me too, David. I know exactly what you're talking about, David. I am poor and needy. It's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's a truth that must get a hold of us. We see another thing that David says about himself. He says in verse 2, he says, I am holy. I am holy. That doesn't mean, he's not saying, Lord, answer my prayers because I live a righteous life. That's not what he's saying. When he's talking about being holy, he's talking about being set apart. He's talking about what God has done for him. He's talking about the fact that God has set him apart for his service. I am poor and needy. And Lord, you have set me apart for your service. And then there's something else that he says in verse 2, verse 4, and verse 16. He refers to himself as thy servant. So David realized that he was poor and needy. He realized that God had set him apart. And he realized that he was God's servant. Realized that he had been set apart for God's service. These things are foundational. Concerning ourselves, these are foundational in Christian living. And these are truths that must grip our hearts. I am poor and needy, but God has set me apart for Himself, and I am His servant. Those are wonderful truths. But we want to spend most of our time on what is recorded here about God. We need to live in the reality of God. Throughout this psalm, David says many things about God. Things that he had come to realize. What is it that you've come to realize about God? That's important. Things that he had come to believe. What have you come to believe about God? Things that he had come to claim. And things that he had come to cling to. What is it today that we cling to? We all cling to something. There's nothing better to cling to than who God is. And so David makes several statements concerning God. In verse 1, he refers to him as Lord, all capital letters. That's Jehovah. The emphasis of the name Jehovah is that He's the eternal and self-existent one. In verse 2, He refers to Him as God. Elohim. The emphasis of the name Elohim means the strong one, the supreme one, the faithful one. In verse 3, he refers to him as Lord again, but notice it's capital L and then small caps. It's the word Adonai. The emphasis of Adonai is that he is our master, he is our owner, he is our possessor. So he uses three names concerning God. He then uses these names throughout the psalm. The word God, he uses five times. The word Lord, he uses seven times. L-O-L, capital L, small case letters. He then uses the word Lord, all caps, four times. That's a total of 16 times. In addition to that, he uses 29 pronouns referring to him. That's a total of 45 mentions of God in 17 verses. So I would say this is a psalm about God. In this psalm, David is acknowledging God. We need to do that throughout our life. He's admitting God. Don't ever be afraid to admit God. He is confessing God. He is expressing his belief concerning God. In verse 5, he speaks with great assurance and conviction of the goodness. He says, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thy name." So with conviction, he speaks of the goodness, and he speaks of the forgiveness and the mercy of God. In verse 8, he speaks of the incomparable works of God. "Neither are there any works like unto thy works." In verse 10, he speaks of the greatness and the exclusiveness of the Lord. "For thou art God alone." He speaks of his greatness and his exclusiveness. In verse 13, he again speaks of the Lord's mercy, except here he's applying it directly to himself. "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul." So it's not just that he believed certain things about God, but he had experienced God. In verse 15, he speaks of the Lord as being full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. In verse 17, he speaks of the Lord's help, "Thou hast hope in me." And he speaks of the Lord's comfort, "Thou hast comforted me." So throughout the psalm, his focal point is God. Throughout the psalm, his emphasis is God. What a way to live! That God is our focal point. That God is the emphasis of our life. Everything he says of God in this psalm, everything he says about God in this psalm, and everything he says to God comes back to the central truth stated in verse 10. "Thou art God alone." Picture David looking up to heaven and declaring, "Thou art God." I believe we need to do that every day. We need to remind ourselves of who he is. "Thou art God. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. I think sometimes people kind of reverse those things. And the reverse is never true. God is never poor and needy, and you and I are never God. Thou art God. Thou art God. That is, Lord, you are the everlasting one. You are the unchanging one. You are the almighty one. You are the all-knowing one. You are the always, everywhere, present, all-sufficient, faithful, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, and able God. Thou art God. We need to believe that. We need to claim that. We need to cling to that. Thou art God. And we need to live our lives as if we believe that. Thou art God. Thou art God. Seems like a very simple precept, but is one I'm afraid that we often lose sight of. Thou art God. What does that mean? Well, it means that He's the controller. He's the ruler. He's the sustainer. People lose sight of that. Thou art God. He's the emancipator. He's the restorer. He's the life-giving one. He's the one who reigns. He's the one who manages. He's the one who directs and governs all. Thou art God. Thou art God. That means He's above all. That means He's over all. That means He's beyond all. That means He is the one who is clothed with majesty. So the psalmist recognizes, the psalmist acknowledges, he is persuaded, he is absolutely convicted, Thou art God. Is that our conviction today? Thou art God. Is that our conviction? I am poor and needy, but Thou art God. Very simple truths. When He says, Thou art God, He is saying, You, God, are definite, established, unwavering, unshakable, unfailing, infallible. Thou art God. That means, God, You are reliable. You are the one that I can rely on. Thou art God. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter the magnitude of the problem, no matter the magnitude of the trial or the difficulty or the need or the burden, no matter how big the giant may appear, to be able to always look up with the psalmist and say, Thou art God! What a way to live. What a wonderful way to go to bed at night. What a wonderful way to get up in the morning. Thou art God! We need to have that conviction. We need to live that conviction. We need to confess, Thou art God. We need to cling to that fact. Thou art God. In the midst of that which is pressing, in the midst of that which is desperate, we need to cling to the fact, Thou art God. In the midst of that which is broken and in ruins and upheaval and chaos and failure and defeat, we need to be able to say, Thou art God. In the midst of discouragement, in the midst of distress and problems and needs and sorrows, we need to be able to cling to, Thou art God. walking in the dungeons and walking in the deserts of life, we need to be able to cling to this fact. Thou art God. And we need to act like we believe it. Thou art God. But notice, verse 10, he does not only say, Thou art God, but Thou art God alone. Thou art God alone. I don't think there's a whole lot of people who believe that. Oh, they say they do. Thou art God alone. That means a lot of things. It means there's nobody like Him. It means that there's nobody beside Him. It means there's nobody but Him. What it means is He is the only God. Thou art God. He is the exclusive God. I'll tell you what else it means. It means that He is God solo. Doesn't need our help. Thou art God. Thou art God alone. What that means is He all by Himself is God. All by Himself, He is God. So hear the psalmist say, Thou art God alone. In other words, when it comes to the blank that says God, your name's the only one there. Thou art God. When it comes to the position of God, God, you're the only one in that position. Thou art God alone. That is, He is God. He can't be replaced. He can't be compared. He can't be excelled. The belief and conviction that Thou art God alone will change the way we act, the way we react, the way we think, the way we see things, the way we perceive things. You see, we need to view everything in the light of Thou art God. Thou art God alone. Now, the world recognizes, for the most part, a God. The world recognizes a higher power. But we can wake up every morning and go through the day, come what may, and know this: I serve more than a God. And I serve more than a higher power. Thou art God alone. We serve a God that rules and reigns and orchestrates and designs and promises, and He provides and He sustains and He preserves and He blesses and He answers and He helps and He strengthens and stirs. This is different than a higher power. A higher power is impersonal. He satisfies. Again, hear the psalmist say, Thou art God alone. This is real. Thou art God alone. It needs to be real to us every day, come what may. Thou art God. And you're the only one that is. Thou art God alone. This is relevant to 2,000 What year are we in? 14. It's relevant. It's timeless. It transcends every age. It transcends every generation. Thou art God. Thou art God alone. It's always been so. There's never been a time, there's never been a second when those words were not so. Whatever the times may be, Thou art God. Thou art God alone. That'll never change. We need to know that. We need to live like we know that. Thou art God alone. And since He is God alone, He's God all by Himself. He's the only one who is God. That's where our focus needs to be. It's where the direction of our life needs to be moving. Thou art God. A lot of people spending their lives chasing some God. But when you realize Thou art God, God alone, that'll change the direction. It'll change the motivation. It'll change the passion of your life. So we need to live in the reality of these truths. The belief and the persuasion, the conviction that I am poor and needy, and the belief and conviction that Thou art God alone, that must be our life. That is to be our life. And these two great truths greatly impacted the psalmist here. And what we have in the 86th Psalm is a picture of a man who is absolutely captivated by God. So I want to notice quickly some things that this knowledge, how this knowledge impacted David. First of all, it caused him humility of heart and mind. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Do you realize for God to hear us, He has to bow down. He has to stoop. When He says, bow down thine ear, that is a spirit of humility. He did not approach God as if God were on His level. Be careful of doing that. Bow down thine ear. We need to talk to God. But we need to talk to God like He's above us and not on our level. You're never on God's level. He's always above us, and we need to talk to Him that way. It sure blasts me when someone says, well, you just talk to God like you talk to anyone else. No, because God isn't like anyone else. He's God. He's God. And He's God alone. So you need to talk to God as if He's above you. You need to talk to God like He does not owe you. You need to talk to God like you're not going to survive without Him. In verse 3, He says, be merciful unto me. In other words, Lord, if you're not merciful to me, I can't survive. That's how we need to look at God. God, I can't survive without you. And it's true because He holds your very breath in His hand. These truths also caused him to be burdened about his soul. Verse 2, he says, preserve my soul. In verse 4, he says, rejoice the soul of thy servant. And in the last part of that verse, I lift up my soul. He's talking about the inner being. of man. These truths cause him to be concerned about his soul. If you're not concerned about your soul today, you don't realize that you're poor and needy. And you don't realize that he is God. And you don't realize that he's God all by himself. Because if you realize those things, you'll be concerned for your soul. These truths caused him to pray daily. Verse 3, "For I cry unto thee daily." Why, if you get the conviction, I'm poor and needy. I have all these needs and I can't help myself. I don't have the means. But thou art God. You believe those two things? Guess who's going to be praying? And guess who's going to pray daily? So you see, this belief has an impact upon us. And by these things we can measure whether or not we really believe these truths. I cry unto thee daily. In verse 4, it was a prayer that lifted and moved his soul in the direction of God. He says, "Unto thee, Lord, do I lift up my soul." So his soul is moving in the direction of God when he prays. In verse 6, he speaks of his prayer and supplications. In verse 7, he declares his intent and his determination to pray. He says, "I will pray." And he also expresses his confidence and assurance in prayer, "For thou wilt answer me. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee." That's his intent. Why? Because no matter what the trouble and no matter what the day, I realize these two facts. I am poor and needy, and thou art God alone. Therefore I pray. And therefore I will pray. These truths caused him to pray specifically for that which would truly benefit him. In verse 11, he said, "Teach me thy way." Teach me thy way. Why his way? Because thou art God. And thou art God alone. Teach me thy way. And then he goes on and he prays, "Unite." That is, join, link, connect, bring together my heart to fear thy name. Why? Why pray that? Because thou art God. Thou art God alone. Verse 16. He prays, "O turn unto me. O turn unto me." Yes, it is true. We need to turn to God. We need to move in the direction of God. But we need to pray that God would be merciful and turn unto us. Why? Because we're poor and needy. And because thou art God. And thou art God all by yourself. These truths caused him to be determined and to have an intent for God. We see in verse 7, "I will call upon thee." In verse 11, "I will walk in thy truth." He's stating his desire, his intent. And we see also there in verse 12, "I will praise thee and I will glorify thy name forevermore." Why? Because thou art God. Thou art God alone. So you see, when we believe these truths, it shapes our determinations for life. We see also these truths caused him to realize that God was greater than that which was in the way. In verse 8, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee." Whatever stands in the way, there's nothing like God. He goes on in verse 10, "For thou art great, That is, God is above all. Notice verse 14. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them, but thou, O Lord. He's saying, you're greater than that. You're greater than them. You're greater than all the obstacles. These truths, this truth that thou art God, thou art God alone, caused him to acknowledge God and caused him to acknowledge the blessings of God. Verse 13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Verse 17, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. So you see this belief, this conviction, thou art God. Thou art God alone. Causes him to acknowledge God. But this truth, thou art God. Thou art God alone. And I'm poor and I'm needy. Caused him to have emotion toward God. All through the psalm, you can hear and you can sense the emotion of the psalmist. There's one word that we see over and over throughout this psalm, and it expresses the emotion. It is a word of exclamation. One letter. O. O. And it's usually, O Lord, O God. Verse 1, O Lord. Verse 2, O Thou my God. In verse 3, O Lord. Verse 4, O Lord. And you can follow it on down. It goes all through the psalm. So this thought, I am poor and needy. Thou art God. Thou art God alone. It was a thought that stirred the soul of David. When you look at individuals, even those who profess to know the Lord, and they're never stirred spiritually, it just there's no effect. I mean, they don't get mad. They don't get happy. There's nothing. There's no emotion. I believe it's a sure indication that a person's lost. But let's say, perhaps they are saved. I doubt it seriously. But let's say, perhaps they are. They know nothing of God. They know nothing of themselves. Because if we knew these truths, you can't help but feel stirring. Thou art God. That all stir us. That all move us. In light of the fact that I am poor and needy and thou art God. Just the very mention of God ought to stir our hearts. Reading His Word and reading of God ought to stir our hearts, because we know, we have this conviction, thou art God. Thou art God alone. So we see the psalmist was stirred. He was stirred. And we ought to be stirred. The very mention of God ought to stir our hearts. The songs we sing ought to stir our hearts. When we read the Scriptures, our hearts ought to be stirred. Because thou art God. Thou art God. So this psalm is the expression of one living in the reality of who they are. I'm poor and needy. You know, if that's all you see, I am poor and needy. I have all these needs, and in and of myself, I'm not sufficient to meet those needs. That will bring you, if that's the only truth you have, that will bring you into the pit of despair. But there's this other truth. Thou art God. Thou art God. Not only thou art God, but thou art God all by yourself. God doesn't need our help. He's God all by himself. He was God before you got here. There have been people I've wanted to ask, well, what in the world did God do before you were born? I mean, I just can't imagine. He must have been mystified by many things. And I don't mean to be smart aleck, but that's the attitude that some people have. Poor God, until I came along. We're never God. We're never on his level. Thou art God. And oh, how wonderful. How wonderful to go through life knowing thou art God. We go through life and there are many, 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 many things that we don't understand. There are many things we can't explain. But I know this. Thou art God. That'll get you through. Thou art God. Thou art God all by yourself. Knowing this, we will live life praising him. We will live life worshiping him. We will live life giving him gratitude. We will live life honoring him and exalting him, drawing attention to him. We'll live life singing to him, singing about him. We'll live life praying to him. We'll live life for him. Thou art God. I'm glad. I'm glad that he's a God that deserves all. He wouldn't be much of a God if he didn't deserve everything. I'm glad that he's a God worthy of all glory. I'm glad. I'm glad that I can't understand everything about God, because that would mean that he'd almost have to be at my level. I'm glad. I'm glad there's many things I don't understand about God. And I'm glad there's nothing that I understand completely about God. That declares his greatness. So, oh, may we go through life. I'm poor and needy. But don't forget this. Thou art God. When you and I are mystified, we need to look up and say, thou art God. And Lord, you were God before I got here, and you'll be God when I'm gone. Thou art God alone. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that's true? If you're here and lost today, he is God. And he is God alone. And one day you're going to stand before him. And there's only one way that you can be found acceptable before such a God. And that is to be in the person of Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in Christ. That's the only way I can be accepted. That's the only way anything about me can be accepted. That's the only way anything I do can be accepted. Is in Christ. And if you're lost, Ephesians 2 says you're without Christ. And to be without Christ is to be in danger of perishing for eternity. As we've said many times, Jesus in John chapter 8 warned the people, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. 3 times he said that, you shall die in your sins. There is nothing more terrifying. There is nothing more horrible than for a soul to leave this life in their sins. To die in your sins means that you have to answer on your behalf. And guess what? You have no answer. You're rejected. If you're here and lost today, there's only one way. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, we pray today that if you're lost, that you'd cry out to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's your only hope today. And you and I that are saved, may we go through life saying, Thou art God. Thou art God alone. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us first song.